الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected listeners, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with Iman, we are now on lesson number 13, and in lesson number 12 we have discussed about who is Allamul Ghuyub, what is the definition of Allamul Ghuyub, who understands and who comprehends the knowledge of the unseen in totality. And we explained concerning the black ant, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all the conditions of that black ant. Also we discussed various examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing clearly that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not possess the knowledge of the unseen. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of the unseen. We related the incident of the righteous lady, elderly lady, who should sweep and maintain the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have mentioned the stories of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explaining that he did not possess the knowledge of the unseen. We left off explaining that when the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat say that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allamul Ghuyub, he is the only one possessing the knowledge of the unseen, by stating this, we do not undermine the status or the level or the rank or the position or the honor or the dignity of any Nabi, of any Prophet. This is just merely stating a categorical belief explained and expounded and elucidated in the Quran and in the Ahadith. We have also explained that the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the Creator, it is infinite. Because He is from eternity and He is from infinity to infinity. The knowledge of the creation is finite because the creation has got this quality. Respected listeners, today we narrate a few more incidents in the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Uhud, this was the second battle in Islam. The first one was the battle of Badr. In the battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as explained earlier, he lost his tooth. And in this very battle, he lost one of his beloved uncles, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In this battle, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had as yet not accepted Islam, he threw a javelin, a spear, which resulted in the martyrdom of Hazrat Hamza, the beloved uncle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Hamza's body was mutilated, and Hazrat Hinda, at that stage also, she had not accepted Islam. She chewed the liver of Hazrat Hamza. The reason being, historians write that in those days, that if you chewed the liver of a brave and a courageous soldier, that you will develop those qualities. Nevertheless, the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very badly mutilated, cut up into pieces. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ulama write that when he saw the body of his uncle, then he began to cry and shed tears to such an extent that whilst crying, that sound was coming out from the blessed mouth of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Never ever before this, and never ever after this, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam cry so much that sound came out of his blessed mouth. Now, if Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam had, or the if he possessed the knowledge of the unseen, will he allow his beloved uncle to even come to the battle of Uhud, let alone be martyred there, let alone after martyrdom have his liver chewed, let alone that, but have his body mutilated? If Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the knowledge of the unseen, then he should have instructed his uncle that, oh uncle, you stay at home, because if you come to the battle, then you are going to be martyred, you are going to be mutilated, your liver is going to be chewed, your body parts, they are going to make necklaces out of it. He should not have allowed all this to happen. Another incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected elders, he loved honey, and he should go to one of his wives, Hadrat Zainab's home, and take honey. So the other wives, because they wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to spend time with them, so they devised a small plan. They said, as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eats the honey and come away, then they will say that his mouth is not giving off a very good smell. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after taking the honey, then went to each of his wives, and each of his wives began to say the same thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately he decided to stay away from all his wives until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that the original cause was that the wives wanted him to be with them, therefore they had classified the honey to give off a bad smell. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he had the knowledge of the unseen, then there was no need to stay away from the wives, and there was no need for the ayats of the Quran, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inform him that this was a method employed by his wives so they could have more of his time. And because of this incident, temporarily Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made honey haram upon himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealing the ayat, stated to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that honey is permissible, and this was just a ploy from the wife's side. In one journey, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam He took Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha along with him. And when they had camped, and after resting a little while, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed, now they must proceed. But he was informed that Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, her necklace was missing. So he and all the other Sahaba began to look for that necklace. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had borrowed this necklace. That is why she had so much concern, and she said that this borrowed item must be found and must be returned to its owner. So there was delay, and this delay was causing uneasiness amongst everyone. Here we must realize that who is looking for the necklace? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sardar of all the Anbiya, the chief of all the prophets. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best creation that set foot on the surface of the earth, he is looking. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first worthy, deserving, rightful Khalifa of Islam, he also is looking. And he is the father of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Meaning he is the father-in-law of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is also looking. Sahaba are also looking. And the status of the Sahaba are greater than the Walis and the Saints. But they cannot find this necklace. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to his daughter, and according to some narrations, he began to knock her on the side and saying her that you are causing delay. The delay was the time of Salat was coming, and in that place where they had encamped, there was no water facilities, there was no water availability. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to his daughter and began to knock her in the side and say that, see, you are causing this delay and you are causing this problem. Meanwhile, it was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this delay caused the ayats of tayammum, that to obtain purification with soil, they were revealed at this occasion. On this occasion, those ayats came down. So, alhamdulillah, by the losing of the necklace and not finding of the necklace, and by their losing of the necklace by Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been blessed by obtaining purity on using soil and sand. Nevertheless, they made tayammum, made their salah, and decided to proceed. When they decided to proceed, then the camel upon which Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, upon which she was mounted on, when that camel lifted its foot, the necklace was present there. They found the necklace. The respected listeners, that the necklace was under the foot of the camel, and the camel was in their presence. In whose presence? In the presence of the greatest of Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the greatest Prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, amongst the Sahaba, all of them do not possess the knowledge of the unseen. Knowledge of the unseen is the sole quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another incident, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went for Miraj, bodily ascension, there he met Hazrat Musa alayhi salam on returning after meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a gift for the Ummah to perform 50 Salat. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he met Hazrat Musa alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Musa alayhi wa sallam said that you should go and intercede and reduce this amount of 50. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept moving to and fro from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam until the figure was brought from 50 to 5. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved to and forth from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam until the salat figure was brought from 50 to 5, and when we perform 5 we are rewarded 50. Now if Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this figure was going to be brought to 5, then why keep going up and down, why keep going to and forth from Hazrat Musa alayhi salam to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here also we learn something, that to take mashwara, to make mashwara with a junior is permissible. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the chief of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Making mashwara and taking advice from his junior compared to him, he did this and this is permissible. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, accept for Islam either Umar or Abu Jahl, one of the two Umars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua in the favor of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. If Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the knowledge of the unseen, then why will he make dua for Abu Jahl, who is destined for hell, who is destined for the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was destined for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become the arch enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not possess the knowledge of the unseen? That is why he is asking, he is pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one of the Umarains, one of the Umarains must accept Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua in the favor of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We can enumerate other incidents also showing that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the best of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this quality, this sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allamul Ghuyub, is only specific and is only pertaining and it is restricted to Allah and Allah alone. And we know of various rules which we have to adhere to. For example, we have mentioned previously that when there is going to be difficulty ahead, then you will not take that route or you will not take that course of action. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life, there were various people who were harassing him. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should go to the haram, and the people who were opposed to him, who did not accept the message of Islam, they even try to put, or they have done this, put the shawl or put the cloth around his neck and squeeze it and tighten it until such an extent that his eyes should pop out and his eyes should come out. Literally, respected listeners, then Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha came, and she, being a woman, and those who did not accept the message, when they saw her coming, they dispersed. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she picked up Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and began to wipe off the dust from the forehead and release the pressure created and caused by the cloth. And then it was at that stage that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that this kalima, La ilaha illallah, will reach every baked and unbaked home, and this message of Islam will spread to all the four corners of the world. If Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he knew this was going to happen as a result of preaching and calling towards the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will not put himself into such jeopardy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding, and in the next lesson we will discuss the kashf and the aspect and the meaning of kashf related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.